you love movies? Well, they love movies so much, it's a little bit disturbing. It's the Screaming Boy Podcast. Ronnie and Adam bring you news and reviews of new releases and classics. Now, here are the guys.
Welcome, everybody, to the Screaming Boy Podcast, episode number 52, I believe. But this is definitely episode 2 of the Documentary Diary. Now, you heard episode 1 of the Documentary Diary, and we went over the Documentary Diary, or the documentary.
Say it one more time. I like you plugging the show a lot.
A Documentary Diary, Documentary Diary, Documentary Diary. We went over the...
I've changed the name, but no, I'm just kidding.
The Max TT documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually really interesting, and I'm really glad you watched that. I'm more so glad that you watched it, and I didn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
There you go. And so that was a lot of fun. So I've been looking forward to this one, to have to see your input on the newest one. And I will just let you take it away and tell us what you watched and tell us about it.
Okay, sure. All right. Well. The 11th Hour is the name of this documentary, and if you guys heard the first episode of the Documentary Diary, I had at the end of that I talked about how this next film that I was going to watch was going to be, it felt like it would have a lot of political agenda behind it. That was just, when you get into topics such as global warming and how our planet is feeling the effects of our being here and our, you know, the advancement of our society. A lot of political ramifications, more so than I've ever heard in the past, like, probably like within the last 4 or 5 years here. Of course, with Facebook and everything like that, you see all these, everybody's opinion should be called opinion book.
Yeah.
And, everybody's opinion starts showing up about, you know, global warming. Is it real? Is it not real? So, the purpose of this documentary, oh, wow, man, I should have read the description. But it's hosted by Leonardo DiCaprio. It was produced by Leonardo DiCaprio. But it's about, you know, how the advancement of technology and the advancement of society is not completely ruining the Earth, but we are at a tipping point, as they would say, where our way of life is going to affect the future of this planet significantly. Now, what they decided to do was bring to you a lot of facts and present them on the table to support their opinion, to support their side of things, okay? The general feel for the documentary, number one, was it almost felt like, I don't know if you've ever experienced something like this before, but have you ever sat down, somebody sat you down in like a room and we're going to show you, maybe it could have been a job, but we're going to show you a motivational video.
Yes.
And they got the people talking with the...
Usually the worst jobs ever.
They've got the music in the background as they're interviewing.
Yeah.
And that is really the feel I got. Like, this was something that...
Ugh.
I mean, it hadn't been put together with... They hadn't had some money behind it. I just don't think the filmmaker really didn't speak to me, because they would sit there and they'd play the same music for, like, 10 minutes.
Right.
And then we'd switch topics, and then we'd play another set of music for the next 10 minutes, and it just got so almost monotone-ish, where they would try to present these facts to me, and we're going to go over some of the facts, because there are some pretty interesting stuff that I gleaned from this particular video, the science that, you know, goes behind all of global warming, and where, what things, you know, how we affect our planet. But it's just the way it was presented. I was kind of, I wasn't too into it.
Right.
But, so let's talk a little bit about what maybe creates global warming and some of the factors that we kind of would need to be aware of. According to this film, we need to be aware of in our society and on our planet today. So some of the neat things that I pulled from here, there was a cool concept that where, and I saw this. Now, Ronnie, when you get up in the morning, you've probably got about a list of 10 things that you already know you're going to do.
At times, yeah.
Okay, you're going to get up, you're going to go to the bathroom, you're going to brush your teeth.
Yeah.
You know, you may even take a shower. You're getting in your car, you're probably going to go to work. You got to make sure you feed the dog, blah, 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 blah. Now, give me a percentage of how many times you would probably just give a thought about the impact of what you're doing has on nature. I'm not talking about like leaving the light on for, an extra 10 minutes or something like that, but let's just say feeding the dog, okay? You know, are you just, is there anything that you're factoring in there to try and do the betterment to the betterment of nature in any way?
Heck no.
So the concept that they were talking about is the fact that, you know, we as a society can really consider ourselves separate from nature. We don't think of what our impact is going to be if we do a certain thing, if we buy a certain product or whatever. It's not in our nature. That's not how we were grown up. That's not how we were taught. That's how we were grown up, it's not how we were taught as we were growing. So the concept that they said is that we really need to think. We need to try and put ourselves in the position to not consider ourselves separate from nature, but be as one with nature. And I'm not talking about Zen or anything like that, but the choices that you make, you need to make sure that you're thinking of what type of environmental impact, because we have really blinded ourselves to doing that. And I'll completely agree that's the case. My family, clearly, we do not care about leaving the lights on another hour, 2 hours, or whatever. But because that's what we're so used to and what we are as a society used to, you get so many people doing that and not paying attention to it, then it's going to have effects on nature. All right? That's the concept. Now, the next thing. When John Kennedy was inaugurated, okay, I want to look this up because, man, this just blew my mind. But they said when John Kennedy was inaugurated as president, there were half as many people on the earth as there are right now.
Oh, that can't be right.
That can't be right. That's exactly what I said. But what happens is, you know, we get – what they will point to is the – introduction of the steam engine. All right, and as technology grew,
I was going to say the steam engine was introduced way before John Kennedy was.
Well, yeah, that's right. But okay. What the graphic that they showed was when the steam engine was introduced, you know, all of a sudden the advancements in technology skyrocket. All right, we go from the steam engine, and then we got, you know, computers and medicine, all this stuff just starts, and then we start becoming, obviously we're going to live longer, especially with medicine, and the fact that knowledge shows us that, okay, hey, you might want to build a house in order to not get struck by lightning or not catch the death of a cold because you're outside, and, an insulated house is a little bit better than a cave. So, as our society as people on Earth started realizing we could start living longer and we weren't dying off as much, you know, exponentially population grew. So, and I felt the same way as you did. When they said that, I was like, there's no way. Because that doesn't seem too far to me. That's only 50 years ago, man.
Right, right.
Okay. All right. Next factoid. I wrote down here, I'm trying my best to understand everything they are saying. Because there are points in this documentary where I was just like, what is that dude trying to tell me? And it was tough. Yeah. So they didn't dumb it down enough for me. And that, unfortunately, if you're a documentary filmmaker, you're going to lose some of your audience. These guys want to show the purpose of this documentary is so they would change somebody's life style. And if you're trying to tell me X plus Y equals Z, and I don't understand what you're saying there, that isn't going to matter to me in the scheme of things. There were way too much technical jargon. We had too many guests showing up and popping in there and talking about this, that, and the other. So, one bit of criticism there, and I have no idea. Oh yeah, okay. I thought that was an inside joke, but I think I just misspelled his name. I put Leo DiCaprio. I thought there was a vaping joke involved or something, but I just hit the
Teasley's not here.
No, he's not. I think I just hit the V instead of the C. It's right beside each other. There was a big part that they spent on Hurricane Katrina and how that particular storm. Of course, what you'll hear from a lot of environmental alarmists is that as our Earth hits this tipping point, nature starts to kind of
thin the herd.
Yeah, and things start to become more violent. Which, what do you think about that, Ronnie? Do you think that that's something that we should actually be?
No.
Okay. And would you say that you've probably heard more about disasters here lately than what we used to?
With the rise of social media and the rise of what's the word I'm looking for? Sensationalizing the news, we've heard more about a lot of things.
And I think you're right there. The fact that we have this ease of access to the internet.
Yeah.
And I can get on here and check to see what the weather is over in China right now if I wanted.
Right. And I think, there's been volcanoes and hurricanes and craziness happening for as long as I've been alive, you know. And I think that we have a greater access to hear about them now, so we do hear about everything.
I can see that. I really can. On a related note, the wife and I are, we're paranoid about our kids going to school and somebody's going to grab them. You don't know if that's really an escalated thing, or if it's just the fact that you hear more about it,
right,
than what we used to back in the 80s and the 90s. Very interesting concept. Okay. Did you know that the oceans went stagnant once?
I heard something about that one time.
95% of all life went extinct when that happened. I never heard that before. Crazy, crazy.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, it had such a impact on everything. Obviously, most of the life we have, we don't know half of what's in the sea. So if the oceans go freaking stagnant, dude, and I'm sure that that's the source of a lot of food for, other animals. But crazy, that was a crazy, crazy thing that they'd said. I just couldn't imagine like a stagnant ocean. Oh, this was pretty cool. As the thoughts and theories of global warming are gearing up, somebody sat down and decided to figure out They tried to figure out a way to take, to put a dollar amount on what nature does for us. So in other words, if man could replace nature, I'm talking about, let's say we could go out, create a tree, and have it photosynthesize and give off carbon dioxide, blah, blah, blah. What it would take us, how much money we would have to spend in order to pretty much replace nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got that? You got what I'm saying there? Where,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, so we're just going to eliminate nature. And they said it would take $37 trillion a year.
Isn't that what the new Powerball is?
It's close. They said it would take $37 trillion a year for man to pretty much do exactly what nature is doing for us right now.
Wow.
All right? That's pretty neat. But you got to think about this. We are in the process of, you know, you got deforestation going on, where we're going in, we're cutting down trees to make paper, all right? We're actually, you know, hindering a system that's already set up to do that $37 trillion. It's like, hey, I got paid today. I'm going to help nature out. $37.
I was going to say, I got them covered on that.
$37 trillion. Nature is doing our basically benefiting us by not making us pay that money. And here we are going in, and because of the focus on an economy instead of focusing on nature, we are more primed to go and cut down a forest so we can make money off the trees and paper, when we don't realize that, okay, we're going to cost ourselves more money in the long run. We're wiping out what nature is doing for us for free. All right. Would you disagree with me if I told you that if you go down and cut a tree, that that's going to impact, you know, on the grand scheme of things? If I went and cut down a tree, would you say that I would be hindering the course of nature in any way?
No.
Okay.
Not one tree.
Not one tree. Now, let's get into this, Ronnie, because this might be where me and you disagree. I don't know. We'll find out. All right. You agree that that tree sucks water up out of the ground, provides oxygen, absorbs CO2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you would agree that that thing does that, right?
Yes.
You cut it down, no matter how minuscule, it could be 1/1,000,000% of what it's doing to nature right now, helping it out. But if you cut it down and you remove it, that would you disagree that that 1/1,000,000,000% is no longer there?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. When I look at it, when I look at environmental problems and the alarmists and stuff out there, don't get me wrong, folks. It's not like I'm a tree hugger or anything like that. But I understand where math works, all right? And if you have you know, a certain percentage being, you know, supplied by the whatever, you know, and you take that percentage away, it's going to have some type of impact on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to math to me. It because at some point you're going to it's going to be inconceivable for us to actually see I don't think that there's ever going to be something that I see where I go, oh crap, we should have never took all them trees down. I don't think I'm ever going to see that in my lifetime. But I think that, you know, the math behind it is solid, because the more you take away of something, less you're going to have, and the more people that you have to absorb whatever that thing is, then it's at some point you're going to hit a spot where there's just not going to be enough to sustain. I really don't think it's going to be anything that I see, me and you ever see in our lifetime. But I really honestly believe at some point the math is going to catch up.
Okay.
What do you think? You think that's a sound theory, or do you think that's bull crap?
I don't know, to be honest with you. It makes sense, and I can see where people can be concerned about that. But with the rising rate of people becoming more environmentally aware, I don't know that that's something that we should be that concerned about.
So you believe there's enough people that are environmentally aware right now to that it would?
Well, I mean, how much have you heard about it lately?
A lot.
Exactly.
A lot. You're right. There are a lot. There are a lot more than I have ever heard before in my lifetime. I'm certainly not making the strides to be environmentally conscious.
No, but for every person that's not really, there's like 15 that are.
Oh, you think there's more people that are than there aren't?
More people. No. I guess that wasn't a sound comparison, but I think that there are people out there that are making the stride and that are doing their fair share plus some.
Okay.
Not saying that we should all start throwing trash out on the side of the highway and making Native Americans cry, but I think
that's a throwback right there to a commercial.
Yes, sir.
Nice one, too.
Thank you. I think that we all can do our part, but you're also talking to the guy. I leave my...
Let's hear it. Confessions.
I don't recycle. I leave my water running the entire time that I'm brushing my teeth. Sometimes I will go to the bathroom and leave the shower running to warm it up so I can jump in it. Things like that. Things that would make some people absolutely turn over and just want to murder me for.
I think you're feeling guilty for, well, I think there's a good reason for your guilt, but I honestly don't think you'd be as condemned as you think. Seriously.
I don't feel guilty at all.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow morning, I'm going to do the same thing again.
Sure.
I'm going to do the exact same thing again. I'm going to leave my my faucet running when I brush my teeth and everything else. But I just think for me that there's somebody out there that's going to do the exact opposite and then some.
Okay. All right. Well, I was going to say I shouldn't have said guilt, but I should say you definitely shouldn't feel like somebody would condemn you, because I honestly think most people out there are just like you that do the exact same thing because they don't feel there's going to be any consequence. Dude,
right.
There's no way that there are more people out there that are environmentally conscious that have, for every 10, I would say there may be one that's environmentally conscious. I mean, me and you, we grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
It wasn't heavy on the environmental stuff back then, but it was there. Well, maybe I'm wrong in saying that, because I can remember a whole line of G.I. Joe called the Eco Warriors.
Exactly.
But me and you grew up in that era, and we aren't Eco Warriors, my friend. We aren't Captain Planet and, you know, is...
But you look at that stuff, though. You see the Captain Planet. You see the Eco Warriors. You see... all that stuff that's going on, and I'm not doing anything to alienate any of the listeners out there that may believe this way. Mm-hmm. If you believe that way, you know, more power to you, but you're probably never going to convert me. I may start recycling, you know, or separating stuff, you know, my plastics and my aluminum and then trash. Mm-hmm. That's probably about the furthest I'm going to take it, but I don't think
I'm really starting to love these Documentary Diaries, because I can put you on the spot.
thanks. But I don't think it's as serious a problem as this documentary has made it out to be.
Okay.
I think a lot of this stuff is done for publicity and...
Political.
Political, you know, footholds and things like that. It's just like, time and time again, it's been proven that the ice caps aren't melting and the hole in the ozone layer doesn't really matter, mm-hmm. if there is one. So yeah, just things like that. I can remember in my school, if there, you know, the hole in the ozone, you know, my high school, in my junior high that I went to probably contributed to 99.9% of that with the hairspray that was running. but you can't convince me as I stand that it's as bad as everybody makes it out to be, because we live in a very doom and gloom society because of, and I really think this, because of the media, because of social media, because of these things. Now, I'm not condemning social media as bad, because that's where I do a lot of my stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I think social media is a good thing, but it can be used just like anything. It can be used in a bad way. And I think a lot of our stuff, a lot of the stuff we hear is social media and our media being used in a bad way. We hear about all this stuff going on, and most of the time on news stations, it's for ratings. You know, you hear about all the bad things happening in the world during sweeps week, you know, and if that's even a thing anymore. But you hear bad things now just because, you know, people want to hear that stuff, and people people are attracted to that. They want to hear the bad things going on because – it's a dramatic pause for their life. You know what I mean? It's a dramatic, it just adds drama to their life, and they will keep putting it out there because it puts more money in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. Walking away from this documentary, oh, by the way, $37 trillion a year to do what nature does.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take a stab? Just guess in the trillions, how many trillions of dollars all the countries in the United States
all the countries
of the world make?
Less than that.
That's true. Good job. Can you give me a number?
You're making me do math.
Give me a number.
20 trillion.
Close. 18. So it's a little bit less than half. The countries, jeez, the world's making less than half of what nature does for us right now. There's no way that we could completely replace nature and actually it'd be economically feasible in any way.
Like I said, don't get me wrong. Don't go, you know, chopping down trees and throwing trash on the side of the road and things like that. No, I don't agree with that at all, mainly because we do have a responsibility for the earth that was given to us. To keep it nice and to keep it clean and to keep it around for the generation after us.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is as bad as what people want us to believe.
It, just like you mentioned, the whole doom and gloom, you know, if you don't recycle, Hurricane Katrina's going to happen again. Or,
right.
You know, the polar ice caps are melting because it's so hot. Now, science is science to a point.
Right.
You'll hear many people tell you that. Science is just another form of opinion sometimes.
Right.
Granted, it might be a fact, but you can draw off of that fact and try to extrapolate what it's going to do, and you may not have any idea what exactly, you know, your actions are right now and what they're going to result in 20 years down the road or 50 years on down the road.
Right.
But I'm not a scientist.
I'm not either. I love science. I love finding things out. I love the action of figuring things out. I'm also a man of faith too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that there are certain things that science can't explain. So I do love science. I do love facts. But I think a lot of times that we mistake theories that, these scientists have put out for fact.
Mm-hmm. All right. There was a mention about how we need to design like nature, which was another cool concept that they were talking about when they were speaking of trying to change how we live. They had showed what this one guy had, a neat design of this building that would, the building would almost act like a tree somehow, where it would absorb.
I'm sorry, I keep thinking Biodome.
Pauly Shore?
Pauly Shore and Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, dude.
So,
speaking of Pauly Shore, okay? When we get to the A's, there is a documentary called Adopted. And it is straight up Pauly Shore. and his story of him adopting a couple kids.
Oh, Lord.
Be ready. Luckily, we got like a year or so before of documentaries before we get to that. All right. And the next thing I wanted to bring up, okay, that was pretty much, you know, the little factoids from the documentary. There was a neat thing I just saw on Facebook. I thought I'd throw in here. Did you see where they were talking about lining like the Sahara Desert with solar panels?
I saw that. Yes.
I thought that was a pretty cool idea to lay all these. Why not? You know, why don't we have like solar panels covering the deserts and on our nations? Because you would think it barely rains there.
Right.
You're going to be absorbing all the sunlight you ever could even imagine. Just line the deserts. They're barren wasteland being used for nothing. Just line them with freaking solar panels and set up some windmills while you're at it and generate enough energy to support. I don't know how much that would generate, but it would be, some of those deserts are pretty big. I imagine it's got to pull in a good bit of energy that could be used. Geothermal energy, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
We don't, in my life, I can see that we don't use nature enough. You know, nature's there. It's there and it's supplying us with a lot of stuff. We just don't use it.
Right.
The solar panels is one thing for sure. I think I heard a friend of mine set some solar panels up on the, it was on the roof of his chicken house. Okay, he has chickens. You know, he didn't want to have to worry about running electricity to the thing, so he figured out a way to line the roof with solar panels, and now he's got pretty much a self-sustaining chicken house, which I thought
that's
was
pretty awesome,
pretty freaking cool. He's got a stream down the from his house. He was thinking about trying to put in like a little water wheel just to kind of generate some type of electricity. And I think the benefits are there, and we're, at least my family, you know, I would love to be a little bit more proactive. If there's anything I could say that this documentary did, the 11th hour, oh yeah, and does doom and gloom, my friend. The title of this just screams it, does it not?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The 11th hour. Oh yeah, and like one of the last sentences was, well folks, it may be the 11th hour, but it's actually the 11th, it's 11:59:59.
Shut up. Jeez.
But anyway, okay, I pulled a few, they had a couple, you know, cool tidbits out of there. Was it an enjoyable documentary? Not really in the least.
Tell the truth. Okay, there we go.
I would not make my kids sit through this. This was not Mythbusters. Okay, this was not exciting.
Watch it, kids.
Yeah, this is not something I would tell.
This is going to save your life.
Oh my gosh. Caleb would sit down for 5 minutes, and then he would be wrestling and not paying attention at all. But anyway, you know, if you're an environmentalist, you're interested in checking out the opinions and maybe some of the, I definitely like some of the stats they were throwing out and some of the neat things they were showing on how, you know, some of the futuristic designs would be if we were to want to try and take advantage of what the Earth and what our solar system, what our sun gives us. I like those parts about it. I'm a science guy too, man. I'm right there with you. I love learning about stuff, but you've got to keep it interesting. And you sure as heck don't make it an hour and a half. It was just really tough to stay interested in it. But that's our second documentary diary entry for the Screaming Boy Network. There you go. What do you got to say?
I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have. There's no way. Well, next up, our third installment will be a very, I expect a good conversation in regards to this.
Yeah.
This next one. It's going to be a somber one, a documentary called 13 Families.
Hmm.
And it's about 13 families that experienced loss in the Columbine shootings back in 99. Just to go ahead and give you guys a preview, I had a tissue beside me and my eyes were welled up the whole time. I thought what I was getting into, I thought I was going to have to deal with a lot of the video, because I know there's video out there of what happened in the school. That's not what this was about. Tune in next time. It'll be a good conversation. I know me and Ronnie will probably have some good insight on where we were at when that was going down. And
yeah.
Hopefully I won't cry. I don't make it a point to cry on podcasts, but damn it if I start. this will be a good reason to at least there'll be a good reason to shed some tears, because this is definitely a moving documentary. And I actually still have about 10 minutes left. I got to finish of it, because Mindy came home and she was like, "Don't even talk to me about it. I don't even want to see any of it." I was like, "Seriously?" So we'll talk about that next time. But
sounds
as for
good.
That'll be a fun one. Yeah. Well, sort of. It'll be a good conversation.
It will be a good one.
Yep, we'll put it that way. That's it. Should I plug some stuff? Yeah, probably should. All right. Me and you have been talking 2 hours and 15 minutes so far tonight. Last night, we talked for about 2 hours. So whenever you get tired of me, you just let me know.
No, sir.
But Ronnie shows up on my podcast every once in a while. I do a comic book podcast called Source Material over on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you like comics, you can listen to us talk about them. We just finished up Secret Wars, the 2015 Secret Wars event, in an issue 8 and 9 coverage there in one podcast. A lot of fun was had, so if you guys want to give us check us out there, like I said, over on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, just go on to iTunes, search Radulich, you'll find us there. Stitcher, same way. Source Material is the name of the podcast. You can follow me at Stiznarchy on Twitter. You can follow my show at SourceMatCast on Twitter. Don't forget to give the Radulich and Broadcasting Facebook page a like. We've got a lot of great podcasts over there, such as the Screaming Boy Productions podcast, my own show, Source Material. We've got the From the Cheap Seats, which is probably going to be winding down here pretty soon, because once Super Bowl hits, we usually go on a nice little hiatus and maybe come back every once or twice during the summer season.
Yeah.
So, Long Road to Ruin, Metal Hammer of Doom, Everyone Loves a Bad Guy, the big movie blockbuster, I don't even know what, the movie club. They do the movie club over there too. And all sorts of other great stuff that will pop up every once in a while. So give that a like and you'll keep up on everything. That shows up on there, and I think that's it. Thank
good
you.
Deal.
Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Thank you again, man. Had a good conversation. Did you have fun?
I did, brother. I always do.
All right.
As for us, you can check us out on Twitter and Periscope at Screaming Boy PR. Check us out on Instagram, Screaming Boy Productions. Check us out on Facebook. Just search Screaming Boy Productions. And then you can check us out on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes. And then you can go to our website, www.screamingboy.com. And go on any one of those places and click subscribe to Radulich and Broadcasting Network. And check out Jesse Teasley, Mark Radulich, and all the guys there. And I believe that does it. And we are out.
You've been listening to the Screaming Boy Podcast. Find us on Twitter at Screaming Boy PR, Instagram Screaming Boy Productions, or check out our website www.screamingboy.com. We're out. Thank you.